Sova, one who's not obligated in the mitzvah, cannot blow shofar to be made to the yak. Let's say the father of the household is away on business out of town on Shabbos, and the mother feels uncomfortable, she feels awkward about reciting Kiddush. She asks her little boy, who's not yet by mitzvah, that he should recite Kiddush. A lot of women do this. So the din is, it's no good. The mother is already passed by bas mitzvah. She has children already. Obviously, she's passed bas mitzvah. If she wouldn't be bas mitzvah, she wouldn't be able to have any children. So obviously the mother is a bas mitzvah. She has a boy who's before bar mitzvah. He's strictly speaking not obligated to recite Kiddush. The mother is obligated, biblically, to recite Kiddush after bas mitzvah. So the child before bar mitzvah cannot be moitzi the mother. So the Talmud says on that Mishnah, despite the fact that we require, in order to be moitzi someone else, with Kiyah Shofar or with Kiddush, whenever you say Shamei Kohen, one person does a mitzvah, someone else is yotze thereby, despite the fact that we require that the one who's performing the mitzvah has to be a mechuyav b'dovah, nonetheless, we know the din. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that let's say the Baal Sekeh blows shofar in shul, and he was yotze, he goes home and he eats his meal, then he goes to the hospital or to the old age home, and he blows shofar again for the people there. So the Gemara raises the question, how can he, is it that acceptable? He was ready yotze the mitzvah, he's not obligated anymore, so how can he blow shofar a second time on behalf of the sick people or the old people? He's no longer mechuyav b'dovah. So the Gemara says, no, that's the din, it's okay. Yotza, despite the fact that he has already fulfilled the mitzvah, Yotza, Maitzi, even though he was Yotza then, he can blow shofar a second time. So what is that based on? The Rashi and all the commentaries on the Gemara say that Yotza, Maitzi is based on the assumption that Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, that as long as there's still a Jew in the world who didn't fulfill shofar yet, it's considered as if I wasn't Yotza. I was Yotza 50%. I wasn't fully Yotze the mitzvah. When I blow shofar the second time, that's in order that I should be able to be Yotze. And I got me, the others are Yotze along. I have to hear the tzkiyas the second time. Not just I'm blowing on behalf of the others. No. The Tzeirish Yigman Brachas, when I blow shofar the second time, I have to hear the tzkiyas. I have to be Yotze myself. And thereby, the others are Yotze with Shemei Akoina, like when I blew shofar the first time in Shemei Akoina. When I blow shofar the second time, even though I was ready Yotze, I was Yotze 50%. But when I blow shofar the second time on behalf of the others, it's on my behalf with, on behalf of the others. I'm listening to shofar a second time in order to enable the other people to be yotzei their mitzvah, that I should be yotzei a little more. This is exactly the difference between the concept of mishpacha and the concept of goy. The nations of the world are mishpachot to Adama, strictly speaking, halachically speaking. And the Jewish people is a goy, we're the only goy. Nikam chisol goy echad bar, we're the only goy. So halacha says, that's why when you have a mixed marriage by non-Jews, let's say a Chinese man marries a French girl, or a Japanese man marries one of the Arabs. So what status are the children? Are they considered Arabs, Japanese, French, Chinese? What's the halacha? So that in all these cases doesn't make a difference. But there are certain nationalities where it does play a role. You want to determine whether the child is Amalek, whether the child is Mitzri Adami, is the child from the Zionumis. Is a child from Amun Amoya. So if you have a mixed marriage where the mother is from one nationality, the father is from another nationality, so how do we determine what's the status of the child? So the Talmud derives from Sukkim and Nechumish, for Umayyads, when there's a mixed marriage but where both parents are non-Jews, Halacha Achar HaZocha, it's determined by their father. Why so? Why should it be determined? Why should it be determined? How is anybody going to know who the father is? There's so much of priesthood going on. You have to work hard to figure out who the father is. Why should it be determined by the father? So the commentaries on the Gemara said, based on the pasuk and parshas Bamidbar, in this week's Tehillim, where it says, "L'mishpachosam, l'beis avosam, mishpacha sav kuri mishpacha, mishpacha seimeda kuri mishpacha." If you have a mixed marriage where both parents are Jewish, let's say the father's a kohen and the mother is not, the father's a Levi and the mother is not, the father's from Shevet Yisachar, the father's from Shevet Zvulun, the mother's from Shevet Binyamin, or from Shevet Ephraim. So the pasuk says, "L'mishpachosam, l'beis avosam, mishpacha sav kuri mishpacha." If you have a mixed marriage but both parents are Jewish, or a mixed marriage but both parents are not Jewish, so the status of the child is determined by Mishpachasav, because to determine which nationality he belongs to, that's not really a nationality. It's not really a goy. We don't recognize nationhood by the non-Jews. We only recognize Mishpacha. So to determine which Mishpacha, the same Mishpachasav takes precedence over Mishpachasav. And the same to determine what Shevet you belong to. I belong to Shevet Kuhuna, to Shevet Leviya, to Shevet Ephraim, to Shevet Yisachar, to Shevet Zvulun. So that's a function of Mishpacha. So Mishpacha Sav Kriya Mishpacha. What if you have a mixed marriage, but one of the parents is Jewish, one of the parents is non-Jewish? So then it's a big hullabaloo in the Talmud, a machloikis, a big dispute, raging dispute. So there was one opinion in the days of the Tanaim that either the father or the mother, like the Reform have adopted in recent years. They didn't realize that there was an opinion in the days of the Tanaim like that. If they would have known, they would have quoted it. They didn't realize it. There was such an opinion 2,000 years ago. If either the father or the mother is Jewish, the child becomes Jewish. Another popular opinion in the days of the Tanaim was that if both, you need both parents to be Jewish. If only one parent is Jewish, the other one is not Jewish, then the child is not Jewish. And the third opinion is the generally accepted opinion. That's what it says in the Mishnah, that it all depends on the mother. How come there are three opinions? Wouldn't it make sense to have a fourth opinion, and we should talk like the fourth opinion should all be determined by the father? If you have a mixed marriage where they're both Jewish and you want it to toss up what shevet does the child belong to, is the child a Kohen or Levi or Yisrael? So in a mixed marriage, the status of the child is determined by the father. If you have a mixed marriage where both parents are non-Jewish, again, the status of the child is determined by the father. Because so when you're trying to determine whether the child is Jewish or not, when you have a mixed marriage where one parent is Jewish, one parent is not Jewish, how come there are only three opinions? For the same money, could have had a fourth opinion. And doesn't the fourth opinion make more sense? No, there was never such an opinion that it should all be determined by the father. Why? The halacha always tries to put everything together. Everything should fit into one big system, one pattern. If you're putting in one pattern, so you should say, when you have a mixed marriage, one parent is Jewish, one is not. It should be determined by the father. The answer is no. Determining whether a person is Jewish is not a function of mishpacha. It has nothing to do with mishpacha. We believe in the concept of conversion. You can have a non-Jew who converts. He doesn't belong to any mishpacha. He's not related to anybody until he gets married and he has children. Then he has a mishpacha. But if you have a non-Jew who converts, he's not related to anybody. Kakot Mishanel has no mishpacha at all. And still he's Jewish. So Jewishness is clearly not a function of which mishpacha does one belong to. It's a function of, do you belong to the Ummah HaYisraelis? Do you belong to the Goy Echad Baris? Mikam Chesel Goy Echad Baris. Are you part of the Klal Yisrael? Are you not part of the Klal Yisrael? So the rabbis assume that that doesn't depend on the father. The pasuk in this week's Sedran Bamidbar that says, L'mishpachosim L'veis HaVaisam, that the status of the child is determined by the father's mishpacha, as opposed to the mother's mishpacha, that's if the issue that we're discussing is what mishpacha does the child belong to? Mishpachas Kohuna, Mishpachas Leviya, Mishpachas Shevet Ephraim, Mishpachas Binyamin, that's a function of mishpacha, the rabbi said. Or to determine what nationality, which non-Jewish nationality does it belong to, because there ain't no such thing as a non-Jewish nationality. They're Mishpachas Adam, their family. So does he belong to the family of Ammon or Moab? Does he belong to the family of Mitzri Vadaimi? Does he belong to the Zainumis? Does he belong to Mishpachas Amalek? These are all Mishpachas. That depends on the father. Mishpachas Av doesn't depend on the mother. But if you're determining the status of the child, whether he's Jewish or not, Jewishness is not a function of Mishpachas. So this is really something fundamental in our religion, that the entire Jewish people constitutes a Goy, as opposed to the other, means one body. And if the other fellow is doing an Avera, that's considered my Avera. And if he's not doing a mitzvah, it's considered that I didn't fully fulfill my mitzvah. And I have to see to it that he fulfills the mitzvah in order that I should fulfill the mitzvah. It's not just I give mussar to him. We're not two different people. It's considered another organ in the same big organism. All of the individual members of the Klal Yisrael constitute different organs within this one big organism. I remember on one occasion, always used to give a drush on the Chag HaSmich every 2-3 years in the yeshiva when they accumulated enough mismachim. They had 20, 30, 40 mismachim every year, so they had 100, 150 mismachim, so they would throw a big party, a big hullabaloo, and they had a procession, they marched down the aisle, and the main speaker always used to be Rav Soloveitchik. So I remember on different occasions he used to give different themes in the drush. So I remember on one occasion he was giving musa to the young mismachim, that they shouldn't develop a messiah complex. They think that they're doing kirov activities and they're accomplishing so much that they're saving the whole world. It says, I'm an offish gizum, don't get so carried away. You're not saving the whole world, you're going to accomplish a little bit here, a little bit there. Like the rabbi said regarding stuff, it's called pruto mitzarefes. People think, what do I accomplish by giving charity? How much can I give already? I'm giving $5, I'm giving a little bit of money. What can you accomplish? The answer is, you'll give $5, the other guy will give $5. Altogether, we'll solve the problem of the poor. He said, when you're in the Rabbanis and you have to do Kiruv, don't think that you're solving all the world's problems, that you have a right to violate the Averis in order to bring about this result of bringing the Gula. Not so fast. You have to go a little at a time. It is, sometimes if there's an issue, a certain issue is a shy. Let's say there are some groups who will sponsor a Shabbaton, a weekend, for kiruv activities, it's much more expensive to have a kosher weekend than to have a non-kosher weekend. So some organizations will have a Shabbaton and they won't be careful on the kashrus, because look, we're saving the whole world over here. So pikuach nefesh is derech kashrus. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you're not saving the world, take it easy, you have to go little by little. It is considered a shatat kach to do kiruv activities, and sometimes in Shulchan Aruch we have chumris. So the Shasat Chak, we don't look for Chumas, so this would be considered the Shasat Chak, to try to do kiruv activities for sure, but we shouldn't get carried away to think that we're saving the whole world. We have to go a little at a time. We don't have to fall to pieces over the fact that so many Jews are intermarried. We really, he said the Chavos Chaim said the house is on fire. Daniel, in the prophecy of in the book of Daniel, so he describes what's going to be. There's going to be so much intermarriage, there's going to be so much his bodalut, assimilation, that there'll be a very small group of Jews who will be observant. They're called the maskilim. In recent years we call the maskilim those who have rejected the religion, and in biblical Hebrew the maskilim are the Orthodox group. And then he prophesies, and from the small group of Orthodox there are also going to be a lot of Jews who are going to fall away, and it keeps on shrinking and shrinking. The group of religious Jews keeps on shrinking, so we don't have to fall to pieces. This was described in advance in the prophecy of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, but it doesn't mean we should just sit back and watch the prophecy be fulfilled. We have to try to do something about it. That's exactly Now, not everyone is cut out for doing these activities. You have to have certain psychological makeup. You have to be calm. If you're a hothead, you're not going to get anywhere. But there are certain things that some people are not so learned and not qualified to give classes, so you need people who are more learned to give the classes. But there are some things that all of us can do, just to show friendship to other Jews, just to invite people over for a meal on Shabbat. There's so many misconceptions and misunderstandings about Judaism. If you invite someone over, if you're just a Shomer Shabbos, you already know 5,000,000% more than the other fellow does. Not to look down upon him. Invite him over for Shabbos and just carry on a conversation. So he'll ask you, what's the Jewish view about this? And he's going to tell you some wild idea. And you just set him straight. There's something that everybody knows. The ABCs of the Jewish religion. We believe in monotheism. We don't believe in Jesus. You know, certain things are just elementary. Certain things are very elementary that all of us know. Other things, if you don't know, say, tell them, speak to the rabbis. I'm not sure myself, but there are certain things that all of us can be involved in kiruv. Of course, it interferes with our Shabbos tish, because we want to raise our children in a religious atmosphere, and we want everybody around our table to sing mirrors and to participate. Look, a little bit you have to give up. We're not asking everyone to invite these people over, invite the non-observant over every single Shabbos. Once in a while, you invite them over. You have every Shabbos, you have your children say the Divrei Torah, and once in a while you have over guests who may not necessarily come with a yarmulke. You have to invite them over and be kind to them, to show them that Judaism means friendship as well. The rabbis have a comment in the Gemara Kiddushin when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was proclaiming the Aseres HaDibros at Har Sinai. So he started off, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and the Medrash says that the birds weren't chirping and the animals weren't making any noise and the whole world was standing still, and everybody heard the booming sound, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So all the nations of the world said, there goes another religion like all the religions. God-oriented religion. God is saying, I'm the boss, and you got to bow down to me, and you got to keep all of my mitzvahs and shayim. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to proclaim, Kabeda Sovich HaVesimecho. That never belonged to any religion before. Then he continues to say, Loi Signoiv. Then he continues to say, Loi Sachmoiv. Wow. Loi Sachmoiv. Not only am I not allowed to take what belongs to the other, not allowed to have a desire. But then they realize Rosh Devarcha Emes, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Rosh Devarcha Emes, Aliyolam Kamish Pat Sidkecha. When the Rebbeinu Shlom started proclaiming the Aseret HaDibros, I'm the one and only God, the Yilachalim Achem Apari, and I'm not allowed to worship any other religion. So he said, there he goes, another religion like all the religions, another God, another religion. But then when the religion kept on developing, and he said, Kabidah Suvech Resimecha, Loi Signoi, and Lois Achmar, then they realize Rosh Devarcha Emes, this is a different religion. From the beginning to the end, everything is a different religion. A religion that contains within it Bein Adam LaMakom and Bein Adam LaChaver and Bein Adam LiAtzmo, that a person has an obligation to work on his midas, to preserve his Tzelem Elokim, not to ruin his divine qualities that were implanted within him. This is a different kind of religion. So if you invite someone over and you just show him what Shabbos is like, what Judaism is like, you don't have to go into all the details of kashrus and Shabbos and mezuzah, just friendship. The friendship is part of the Jewish religion also. People, we live in a time that people feel lonely. The Jews and the non-Jews, everybody feels very lonely in our days. everybody's afraid, everybody's wrong. There are a lot of misconceptions that can be straightened out. So this is something that everyone should do. Look, we all have a very strong obligation to fulfill this mitzvah of Hacher Tachiyah. And we can't all do this. We have to support, we have to give money to this organization, to all organizations that are doing work in Kiev. We have to try to spend a little time with these people as well, to have them come over to our homes once in a while, Shabbos, Yontif, and then to show them friendship and to explain those parts of Judaism that we are able to explain. Rabbi Taubes said very interesting that some of the people came to the classes without a yarmulke. I remember I was invited many years ago, about 20 years ago, Shofet Tal, he used to be on the Supreme Court in Eretz Yisrael, there's only one judge who's religious. So the years ago used to be Shofet Tal. He was a colorful person. He used to give a shiur in Daf Yomi in the Sachet Shavu Shtibel, I think, in Beit Gan. And then he was a judge in the Supreme Court. So he got me when I was there in Eretz Yisrael, and he says he gives a weekly shiur in Talmud for a group of judges and lawyers. Would I be kind enough to give the shiur on his behalf? So he said, fine, no problem. What are you studying? So he tells me they're studying Perek Ezehu Neshech. That's one of the probably the most difficult Perek in all time. The laws of charging interest. The cases are so complicated. So I said, I can't give a shiur just like this in Ezehu Neshech. I can give an introductory shiur. So he says to give an introductory shiur. I said, okay. Okay, he was already in the middle of the Perek, so I'm giving, as a guest, I'm giving an introductory shiur. So he drives me to the place, some centrally located office in the middle of Yerushalayim. And in the evening, once a week he gives the shiur. So I come there. So some women came, judges, lawyers, I don't know what they were. Men came without a yarmulke, people came with tzitzis out, with yarmulkes, all kinds of people. Then, as I'm about to say the shiur, everybody puts on a yarmulke except for one guy. He doesn't wear a yarmulke the whole time. And I'm giving this whole shiur, and this guy without the yarmulke sits in the front row with a pad and a paper. He's asking all the questions from the beginning to the end. He's asking more questions than everybody else put together. He's writing down all the answers. He wants to get everything straight. I had Hanoah. The man without the yarmulke is interested in listening to a complicated shiur on Hilchos Riddus. And the guy comes every week. He doesn't know who I am. He didn't come just in my honor. The guy comes every week. The people are thirsty to hear things. Tomorrow he's not going to put on a yarmulke because of the shiur, but ultimately he will. He's interested in observing these people. If they're coming, means that they're interested, they're looking, they're searching for Judaism. You have to try to give them. The Medrash has a famous comment on the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lona Moshe Morosha Kihilas Yaakov, that the Torah is a Morosha, it's an inheritance that belongs to the whole Jewish nation. Kihilas Yaakov, the whole Klal Yisrael. So the Medrash tells a story that on one occasion, an Am Ha'aretz, a farmer, walked into the yeshiva where Abchir was giving a shiur. He was giving this highfalutin shiur on a high level, chetzin, governing, kiyam, you know, the whole language. And the Balabas didn't understand one word that he was talking about. So he said, Rabbi, you people are ganavim. So the rabbi was all shaken up. What do you mean ganavim? What did we do to you? He says, it says in the Bible, Taretz Yolana Moshe Mai Rosha Kihilas Yankiv, it's the Yerusha from all of us. You stole my share of the Yerusha. Give me my share. Why don't you teach me some Torah? It's true. The Balabas was true. The farmer was true. We Orthodox Jews have, in a certain sense, we have grabbed the Torah for ourselves, and we're not letting the other Jews share. You have to share and share alike. You have to give the chelek to the other Jews. They're interested in their chelek. If they come and they're interested, so we have to give them their chelek in Torah. It's certainly an organization that has been successful for many years. As Rabbi Taubes mentioned, its success is not... they don't have 5 million Balei Tshuva. Kima came a little by little, like charity. The Gemara says, "Kol pruta pruta mitzarefes." You give a nickel now and a nickel the other day, and everything adds up. Everybody's nickels add up together. They have quite an impressive list of success stories of people, like Rabbi Taubes mentioned several of them, with the bar mitzvah, with the chasen, and so on. Little by little, we're getting people to come back. We're losing people Keseder every year, so we have to try to replenish the ranks of the Orthodox. We have to save all of the people. The people who are not observing Torah mitzvahs are really in an abnormal state. This is part of their DNA. This is part of their personality. They were all created with the Tzelem Elokim. They were all created with these midas of Elokim. It's really an important organization to help out. Whoever can give shiurim should give shiurim. Whoever can invite for Shabbos, you should organize amongst yourself. We should invite Shabbos or Yontif. And what I said tonight is really Dvar Pshutim. I didn't discover anything. I'm just saying over the ABCs of what the Jewish religion is all about. And I hope everyone takes it to heart to support this group. Thank you very much, and you should continue to have Hatzlacha.